Well, today I want to talk about missions. Why do we do missions? What is our mandate to do missions? And by mission, I mean across the street and around the world. I'm not just talking about going to Africa. And so I want to talk about this whole concept that the church exists to do mission. And I hate really cheesy stuff. I hate acronyms, but I got a cheesy one for you today. I got the four R's of mission. The first R is response. Response. We do mission as a response to Jesus and what he has done and the commission that he gave us. Listen to the words in Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, "Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So the disciples are all gathered on this mountain, and they're having a little worship service. I would love to have been in that worship service, wouldn't you? Because there weren't any instruments, most likely. If it was, it was a little harp thing. But they're gathered on this mountain, and they're having this incredible worship service. And it's into this moment that Jesus comes and gives the commission for world missions. You have to catch the significance of this here. See, he spoke into the hearts of worshipers and gave them the commission to go reach the world. You see, it also said in that passage that some doubted. And what it doesn't elaborate on is that there were many disciples, there were many followers of Jesus who had run and hid. They were scared, they were confused, they doubted, they didn't know what was going on. And so they had run to the hills and they were hiding. They were hiding from the religious leaders, they were hiding from the chaos, they didn't know what was going on. Jesus could not speak into their hearts and give them the commission to do world's missions. And I'll explain that more in a minute. But it was to this small few, the faithful, the ones who gathered on this mountain, who still could find it in their hearts, despite all that had just happened, they could still worship Jesus. And so it was into worship. It was into a place of worship that Jesus gave us this call. Our call to do missions today is still the same. It still comes from a place of worship. In fact, doing mission is a continuation of our worship. It comes out of worship. It is born in worship. And our motivation for mission today must come from worship, whether across the street or around the world. We are all missionaries, and we're all on mission assignment, and it is born out of a place of worship. In verse 18, then Jesus goes on and he gives them this commission. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." In this one statement, Jesus puts into words what he has practiced throughout his ministry. He couldn't say it if he hadn't operated it and demonstrated it. But he tells them what he's been doing. And he says, "My ministry has been in authority, in one of authority, and that authority came from my Father. My Father has given me this authority, all authority." And now the implication here is he is now passing that authority, which he has operated in, unto us. So he is now passing that authority on. It's something he's talked about throughout his ministry, especially in the book of John. "You will do greater things than I have done. Anything you do in my name, I'll do it." He's been telling us all along that it's this authority. And now here he gives us the official commission. "I've been given all authority by the Father in heaven. Now go." The implication is you take the authority with you as you go. But what's the context? The context is mission. He's giving the Great Commission. He's telling us as the church, as the followers, to go do mission with authority. So all authority under the kingdom of heaven now falls to us, not for our own use. Not that we would go and make a name for ourselves or to promote ourselves or to fulfill our own agenda. No, this authority is for mission, whether across the street or around the world. What is this authority? It's so important to this commission that he gives us. And remember, this is all in response. We do mission as a response to who Jesus is. And the authority that he gives us is the authority to do signs and wonders, to preach the word of God, to pray for healing, to deliver those who have demons. That was the commission that Jesus kept giving to his disciples over and over and over again. As you go, preach the gospel, and then heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. That happens as you walk in authority. The authority that God the Father gave Jesus was the authority over all of these earthly elements, sickness, disease, death. Those don't exist in the kingdom of heaven. They only exist on earth. And so it is with that authority that we go do mission to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Jesus continues in verse 19 and he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus now gives us a direct command. Go. Take the authority and go. Make disciples. Notice he doesn't say make converts. It's not about getting somebody to say a prayer. It's not about getting somebody to adjust their theological position to agree with your theological position. It's to make disciples. Followers of Jesus, people who will follow in his footsteps and do what he did. But it is from that place of worship that now comes the obedience to do what Jesus has called us to do. Jesus gives us the call, we bring the obedience, but all of it from a place of worship. So we respond to this call in obedience. But then he tells us where to go. He says all nations or all the world. We are to preach the gospel and to bring the kingdom of God to every nation and to the neighbors across the street. This isn't an either or. Sometimes we think that mission is all about going somewhere far away. But mission is going across the street to your neighbors. Sometimes people think, well, it's just all about sharing with my neighbors. We don't need to go across the world. No, we do. The commission is both. It's both and. Across the street and around the world. Wherever there are unsaved people is where our call to do mission extends. This is why we leave tomorrow morning, 3 a.m., for Mozambique. It's from our place of obedience, born out of our worship, that we will take this message to the nations. Jesus continues in verse 20 and he says, "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." This is the difference between making converts and making disciples. Making converts is getting them to say a prayer. Making disciples is teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded us to do. Big difference. And that's part of what we go there to do. Our first week in Mozambique, we will be training pastors. I think it was shared a dream that she had, that she dreamt that that's what we were doing. We're going there to train pastors that can then go out and train their people to do what Jesus has called us to do. They don't have access to education there. Some of these pastors won't even have a Bible. But we go there to teach them the word, to teach them what it is to be a follower of Jesus in action, in deed, and word. And of course, we get our courage to do this from Jesus' last statement there when he says, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." So the first part of response, the first part of mission, is that response in worship. Simply to who Jesus is. I respond to who Jesus is in worship. The second part of response is then my obedience to go do mission, to live up to the call that he has placed on all of our lives to go do mission. So I respond in worship, which leads me to obedience, which takes me to the nations and across the street. Our second R is reason. The reason that we do mission is toward the end times. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 24, starting in verse 4. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus is explaining here to his disciples what the beginning of the end times will look like. And I love how in the middle of it he says, oh, and by the way, the nations will hate you. And yet he calls us to the nations. The last passage we just looked at, he says, go to all the nations, make disciples of all the nations. Oh, by the way, they're going to hate you. But he gives us the reason. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus tells us that the gospel must be preached to every nation before the end will come. Now, the word translated here in the NIV as nation has a wide range of meanings. It can include company, group, swarm, race, nation, people group. Generally, the way this is best understood is people group. Jesus is saying that every people group must hear the gospel before the end will come. One of my former seminary professors, Grant Osborne, in his translation says, in the entire inhabited world. So in every place that's inhabited by humans must hear the gospel. Then the end will come. Now this doesn't mean that they will all become disciples. This just means that they will hear the gospel. They will have the opportunity to receive free salvation. It doesn't mean they will all become. But remember your neighbors across the street. Because there may be people living across the street from you that have never heard the gospel. Fellow Vineyard pastor Michael Gatlin, he pastors the Duluth Vineyard. He shares this story frequently at conferences. When he was growing up as a kid, he grew up in a very pagan, secular family and community. He had never heard the name Jesus before. I believe, if I remember, he tells me he was about 10 years old, and he was playing with some of the other boys in the neighborhood, and one of the other boys used the name Jesus as a curse word. And Michael thought to himself, huh, there must be a new kid on the block, and he's not very nice. That was the first time he had heard the name of Jesus was as a curse word, and he had no idea what that meant. Do you realize your neighbors across the street might not know who Jesus is? And so this great commission to go and to make disciples of all nations starts across the street and carries us across the world. The verse also says that the preaching of the gospel in the kingdom will be a testimony to the world. This is important. Because this testimony is in part the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross. But this testimony is also in part the kingdom of God, that we get to enter into the kingdom of God and its authority, both in the future kingdom in heaven, but also in the current kingdom now. So we get to go preach Jesus, and we get to say, good news, you get to enter into the kingdom now and in the future. Because the kingdom of God is here on earth, and we can enter into it. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Part of this testimony, though, is also love. In the last verse, in verse 12, it said, because the wickedness will grow so great that many will grow cold. Their love will grow cold. So part of our testimony to the nations must be unconditional love. No matter how much the nations hate us, no matter how much they persecute us, we must love the way Jesus loved. There's not a lot of that in the world right now. You turn on the TV and watch the news, it's pretty depressing. But Jesus says, no, go to all the nations, tell them what I've done on the cross, enter them into the kingdom, and love on them. And oh, by the way, they'll hate you while you do it. So the first part of reason is we do missions so that the whole world can hear and have opportunity for salvation. The second part of reason is that we do mission to fulfill what Jesus has said must happen before the end times. Not that we do missions to bring about end times. Only the Father does that. Even Jesus says, I don't know the time or the hour. Only the Father does. We don't do missions to bring about the end times. We do it as a fulfillment moving toward the end times. Our third R is risk. There is inherent risk when we do mission. Remember from the last section, as I just said, Jesus said the world will hate us. But the kingdom of God, as I have talked about in earlier series this year, the kingdom of God has an enemy, Satan. Satan hates your guts and he wants to prevent you from doing mission and he will stop at nothing to do it. I love the authority that Justin prayed with just a minute ago. We have an enemy and he's trying to stop us. But Jesus warns us of this risk several times. Luke 10, Jesus is getting ready to commission the 72 and to send them out. And he gives them these very encouraging words. He says, "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Jesus knows how to give a great pep talk, doesn't he? Paul, he's being attacked. He's being criticized. People are saying, "Who are you? What authority do you have?" This is how Paul responds in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one." They believe that 40 lashes would kill you, so if they gave you 39, you'd sort of hang on death's door and fate would judge you. 5 times he has been brought to death's door with a lashing of 39 lashes. Next time you think being a Christian is hard, next time you think life is hard, read these words from Paul. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Warm fuzzy, isn't it? I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He encountered all of these hardships in the course and pursuit of mission. This is why mission must be born out of pure worship. You see, if Jesus had come to those disciples that had run and scattered and hid themselves in the caves in fear and said, "I'm calling you to mission," and they had been like, "Oh, okay," and then they had gone and encountered this, what do you think would have happened? It would have crashed and burned. But you see, Paul can endure all of this, and he calls us to endure it out of a place of worship. If my response to Jesus is pure worship, then I don't mind being flogged and shipwrecked because it becomes a part of my worship. But if I'm in mission for some other reason, then when I get flogged and shipwrecked, it's woe is me. Mission must be born out of pure worship. If we go into mission with any other agenda, any desire of our own, whether across the street or around the world, we will be unable to endure the risks and the hardships. Because these same hardships and difficulties still remain potential threats today, across the street and around the world. Last year when we were in Senegal, another pastor in the same village that we were in was arrested and put in jail for doing the same thing that we were doing. The risk is still real. You might go across the street to talk to that family that lives across the street, and they might curse you. They might F-bomb you. They might mock you. But is it coming from a place of worship? Because if it is, you'll have a compassion for them, even as they hate you, because that's what Jesus did. And our fourth R is reward. There was both a heavenly and an earthly reward for being faithful in mission. Our earthly reward, it has many parts. I'll just name a few. We get to be where Jesus is. We get to be on the front lines of reaching the lost. You see, his heart is always for the lost. Jesus is always pursuing those that don't yet know him and aren't yet in the kingdom. So if we go where they are, we're in the middle of his heart. People always, like, I don't know what the will of the Father is, and I just don't know how to get into God's heart. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, raise the dead. You want to be in the middle of God's heart? Go find some lost people. Hang out there. You're in the middle of God's heart. Part of our reward for doing mission is we get to be where Jesus is. We get to be on the front lines. And then the second reward is we get to be used. We get to see incredible things simply because we were willing to go put ourselves in that position as a response, as a worship to who Jesus is. So I go across the street or around the world, and I get to see someone's leg lengthened or their broken arm healed or set free from emotional stuff or whatever it is. When I was in Senegal last year, we see miracles here in this church all the time, but when I was in Senegal last year, I prayed for that man, Ducre, who had tremendous pain in his hips. He was an older man, and he was barely able to walk. There was so much pain in his hips. And I prayed for him, and he was completely healed. He was so overwhelmed, he just walked away from me, and he had to go cry for a while. And then later, he came back with a translator and said, "I'm sorry, I wasn't offending you, but I was so overwhelmed with God's presence, I just couldn't. I just had to go be alone." So this man gets dramatically healed, and then just hours later, we take him out into a remote village, and it turns out that this man can speak the language of the local village, and he shares Jesus and what Jesus just did with him and his hips. We get to be on the front lines of really cool stuff like that when we respond and worship and go across the street and around the world. We will find and make many new friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we seek to make disciples, people that we will quickly say, "I can't imagine life without them." Probably I'm at the point of somewhere maybe in the range of 20 to 25% of my Facebook friends are now Africans. Another one, when the 72 returned from their mission, they give this report. It says the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to our name." There's joy in doing mission. When we respond in worship and go across the street and around the world for the sake of his kingdom and mission, we find unspeakable joy. Another one, living a life of mission gets us out of bed in the morning. When we live for ourselves, it can be difficult to get out of bed in the morning. I wear this t-shirt. Many of you have seen it. I was going to bring it today, but it's already packed. It says, it's a t-shirt that came from Vineyard Missions, the Vineyard Missions Department. It says, "Experiencing God, living in the kingdom, multiplying churches, changing the world." That'll get you out of bed in the morning. Listen to it again. Experiencing God, that's worship. Living in the kingdom, that's authority. Multiplying churches, that's mission. Changing the world, that's reward. There's also a heavenly reward as we do mission. Revelation 7, starting in verse 9. John says this, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Imagine this scene. Get a mental picture of this, because you're going to be there. You're going to be there. All the barriers have been brought down. We worship together as one. There was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne of the Lamb. But here's the best part. We have not lost our national identities. We have not lost our racial identities, and we have not lost our cultural uniqueness. They are still recognizable. How else could John tell that every nation, tribe, tongue was there? It was still recognizable. But in the kingdom, when we reach heaven, our reward is that we get to worship with our brothers and sisters from every part of this earth. We are all created in the image of God. And so in this scene, when we get to the kingdom of heaven and we all get to worship together, our worship will be the most complete it has ever been. Imagine this. You're going to be worshiping with the North Koreans, with the Iranians, with the Iraqis, with the Americans, all in one place. And our worship will be the most complete it has ever been. That's a big reward. But it starts as we go across the street and around the world to reach people of every nation and tribe and tongue. And I think what's so glorious is, as we have been working in various parts of Africa, the Lord has begun to bring people to our church from those parts of the world. We think that's awesome. Let me wrap it up with this. Mission must be born out of a place and a heart of worship. When it is, it's not optional. When mission is born out of our worship, mission no longer is an option. Because we understand the mandate on our life to go and to make disciples. Our love for Jesus and our worship will compel us into this life of mission across the street and around the world. There will be risks, there will be hardships, and there will be rejection and persecution. Take it to the bank, and it doesn't matter if you're going across the street or around the world. And our mission also must be one of pure Jesus. We are not converting people politically. We are not trying to change their culture. We are not trying to get them to live a Western lifestyle. Whether across the street or around the world, it's pure Jesus. Leave the politics at home. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's stand and sing our last song. It's an old song that I dug out from the Newsboys called God of Nations, and it speaks of this idea of going across the street and around the world.